Nina Porzuki here with
Patrick Cox, and this is The World in Words.
So Patrick, I'm going to throw out a few terms for you and see if you can define them for me or if you've even heard of them before. Okay, red pilling. Normie.
Normie. That sounds like, you know, that would be a nickname, like Norm. Norm would get,
Normie.
Hey, Normie.
Normie, very sweet. Not quite. Meme magic.
Meme magic. That sounds like a kid's card game or something. Or,
yeah. I don't know. Well, these are all expressions being used in some internet message boards on places like Reddit.
I was a long way away.
Yeah, 4chan. Yeah, I know.
Hello,
and Christina Lopez.
Christina?
Hi.
She's been collecting these terms. Let's just say it's not always safe for work.
Say NSFW.
Okay. NSFW. I know what
you know that
is.
One is? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I can handle that.
LOL.
I can even...
You don't have to say
that. Am I being cast here as like the old fuddy-duddy
who
only...
You're like the straight man. You're like, I want to be the question maker. So I cast you as the straight man.
Okay. Yeah, no, definitely LOL. I'm on safe ground here.
Yeah. So Christina works for a nonprofit called Media Matters for America. And part of her job is to lurk on these message boards and try to decipher the memes and words of the alt-right.
Mm. Media Matters for America. That sounds like a kind of superpower. It's like that total nothing name.
True. It's sort of a generic name, but it is a left-leaning nonprofit. Their mission is, quote, monitoring, analyzing, and correcting conservative misinformation in the U.S. media. I pulled that from their website. So they have an agenda, for sure. But what interested me when I spoke with Christina and why I spoke to her to begin with is this list of words and phrases that she has been collecting. She started collecting these terms around the time of the U.S. election. And the reason why is at the time, Christina told me, she and her colleagues kept coming across language on the internet they just totally didn't understand.
It felt like I was looking into a group and I didn't understand the group joke.
Words like normie, which is not actually a cute nickname for a guy named Norm. You are a normie. I'm a normie. Christina's a normie.
We're normies.
Yes.
To make a Harry Potter metaphor, a normie would be like a muggle, someone that's not in on it.
So not in on the joke.
Right. Got it.
Yeah. So they noticed more and more of this message board slang like normie. Or here's a word you might recognize.
It's cuck.
A cuck?
A cuck.
That kept popping up into more mainstream places like on TV and on podcasts.
It's like the kids on the internet have found a new insult.
Oh, yeah, my least favorite word, the one that you did the podcast on.
Yes.
With the origins
yeah.
of that alt-right slur.
Exactly. So Christina, normie Christina, and her normie colleagues, they felt like they needed to seriously start monitoring this kind of slang.
As an organization that is tasked with, you know, keeping track of media narratives and tracking misinformation, they became part of her targets.
Can we put a fence around it? Like, we're talking here kind of around Trump trolls, or how would you even, like, define what the group is that you're talking about?
We are specifically referring to, and this is what we track, what we call the MAGA trolls, the pro-Trump trolls that use the internet to grow their platforms and build a message. They are looking to influence the media narrative, and they're looking to delegitimize the media.
Today on the podcast, we are going to explore 6 MAGA troll memes that Christina has encountered.
I'm bound to not know any of them,
well,
so this is going to be a great education.
I had no idea when I saw them on her list. One of the first things Christina wanted to decipher wasn't actually a word, but an image.
And the image was a frog, Pepe the Frog, and this frog was just appearing everywhere.
This smug frog is willing to, you know, speak the truth about race and the Jews, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Pepe the Frog. I remember that during the election.
Yes, it was a meme during the election.
And it has become sort of the mascot of this gigantic movement that now is sort of an umbrella for a lot of very different feuding factions.
Pepe the Frog used to be this sort of fun-loving little character. He's been co-opted as a symbol of hate. It's actually been officially labeled a symbol of hate by the Anti-Defamation League.
Actually, this frog was originally part of a comic book that a comic book artist would upload to the internet. And the frog symbolized a loser that doesn't care about a lot of things anymore. So they kind of like took it as their mascot and adopted it and named it Pepe. So there's a lot of appropriation and repurposing of language.
The changing of language and the changing of meaning is really interesting here. And because of the internet, I think things go rapid fire. I remember in terms of like post-election, there is this term that was being bandied about in the mainstream media, alt-right. But even from what I understand, this term alt-right has shifted in terms of what it means and what this collection of people or group, loose
exactly.
group, is calling itself.
It was, in fact, Richard Spencer who came up with the term and tried to use it to brand those who were in the far right but didn't necessarily identify with the Republican Party, who they saw as feckless and ineffective.
I'll give myself some credit in terms of the term alt-right.
So I, as you remember, Patrick, spoke with Richard Spencer after the election.
How could I forget?
Yeah, I know. In an interview about cuck, that other slur, and I asked him actually at a certain point about the term that he supposedly coined, alt-right.
What is alt? It stresses that this is a new beginning. This isn't your grandfather's or your father's conservatism. This is something else. This is an alternative to it. This is a new start. And even the fact that we use right and not conservative is interesting. We're not just conserving things. There's a kind of relativistic aspect about it, being a conservative. You're just holding on to the status quo. No, we're the right, and that's something different, something more rooted. And alt also has connotations that are also good, you know, like alternative music you would think of as, you know, grunge or heavy metal or electronica or you know, a more art rock type thing. So it has connotations about being edgy and cool and avant-garde.
So calculating.
It's so, yes, but it's also so seductive. I mean, he knows exactly what he's up to.
I do think it's a very good term, and it's worth talking about.
I mean, it is a genius marketing term. Like, it also masks the other, like, fundamental things of your, like, ideology about, like, white nationalism and white supremacy and that sort of thing.
But am I really masking any of those things? Like, I when people ask me, you know, very basic questions about controversial topics, I'll answer them fluidly.
Very fluidly.
Very
fluidly. Like it just flows out of him. Sounds right. Like he's being like totally transparent. But sounds like he's pretending, he's claiming to be totally transparent.
Yeah. It goes back to this whole notion of, you know, dog whistling versus like saying what you're really about. And like, it's a very twisted logic. Anyway. Yeah. Too fluidly for some, according to Christina.
When Richard Spencer began gaining notoriety and it became fairly obvious that his views were not just far right, but also ethnocentrist and white supremacist, his image became a little too toxic. So an active effort to rebrand began, but it was all PR because they were comfortable with his ideology at first. So I think a more accurate way to identify them is pro-Trump trolls, because they largely operate online.
Support for The World in Words comes from Babbel. So, Tina Tobey, engineer.
We're back this week.
We're back. So you have used Babbel with your very young child.
Yes, we downloaded it last week and we started with Maddie, and she was instantly engaged.
How do you say hello in Spanish?
Do you say buenas noches or hola?
Buenas noches.
That is good night.
Good.
How do you say hello?
The other one.
Hola.
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 Hola. Hola.
She got it eventually there.
Of the two options, she got it second.
Well, you too can learn a language with your child, your very young child.
It's a lot easier if you can read.
It's much easier if you can read. Go to babbel.com. That's babbel.com/world. Download whatever language you like. I mean, of the 14 languages that are offered. And use the offer code WORLD, and then you get 3 months free.
3 months.
When you sign up for 3 months. I encourage you all, and then send in your cute little recordings of learning a language with your child. Babbel.com/world.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches. Hola. It's hola.
We didn't do the buenas noches one. Hola.
Back to the MAGA trolls and troll language online. Often, according to Christina, this online world seeps into the real world.
IRL, like they would call it in real life, like when they disrupt a play in the park. This way will
I disrupt the image. Oh, right. Shakespeare in the Park at Central Park, and Julius Caesar is assassinated, and this is a kind of Trumpian Julius Caesar.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll pause here briefly.
Wow.
So this gained steam online, people getting angry over it, to the point where people in real life came and disrupted the play.
Mm. Or when they decide they want to protest outside of the headquarters of CNN.
We are here to protest CNN and their fake news.
And that's something that actually started as a meme war against CNN and just translated into an actual protest.
To bring down a democratically elected president and Donald Trump.
And actual harassment of real journalists in the real world.
And there's a term for that, right? Making a meme sort of break through into
the
IRL.
Meme magic.
Meme magic.
Oh, yes.
It's not quite as much fun as a kid's game.
Are you thinking Magic the Gathering? Is that what you're thinking?
I don't know. I'm just thinking of something or other in my daughter's room. You know, some card game. I don't know. There's a lot of games that have the word magic after
yes.
them. But not too many that have the word meme, when come to think of it.
Well, no, it is not Magic the Gathering, the card game. But meme magic, our sort of second term for today that we're going to learn, yeah, it's when an online protest sort of breaks through into IRL.
They actually call the Trump phenomenon and the fact that he was elected president, they call that meme magic. They memed a president to existence.
That's crazy. I guess you could call that meme magic. I still feel like I don't understand it. I still feel like I don't understand. I mean, I get the fake story stuff and all of that, that how that influenced the way that some people voted, but I still don't understand how certain kind of memes on Twitter just took hold and were able to sway public opinion. I don't get it. I still haven't had that fully explained to me.
Well, one of the things that drives like memes and drives the internet is pop culture, right? And one of Christina's favorite terms actually derives from pop culture. And perhaps that's a way of understanding how something sticks or gets sticky or breaks through. I don't know.
My favorite, and it's still my favorite, it's one of the originals, it's Red-Pilled. The reference is so universal and accessible. Everyone that has watched The Matrix remembers that scene where the character needs to pick whether he wants to be oblivious to the truth and live without pain or understand reality and, you know, go through the pain of knowing that everything that surrounded him was sort of a joke. So it wasn't real. So he takes a red pill to know the truth.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
It's now a verb and it's now an adjective. You can red pill someone by explaining the truth to them and like opening their eyes to this world.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Where the MAGA ideology is what should be the reality. You can compliment someone by saying, wow, I hadn't met that many red-pilled women before. And that's a compliment, supposedly.
Well, that is, it's incredible that you have a metaphor for kind of knowing the truth is based on taking a pill. I mean, it's American pharma culture or something. I don't know what. But yeah, I know that this is a totally cool scene in a fairly cool movie. But still, I mean, just think about that metaphor. Why take a pill at all?
You're still taking a pill. You're still ingesting something from someone.
In order to see the truth.
Right. anyway, but a lot of these terms like red pill, as I was saying before, come out of pop culture. It's totally unsurprising that internet slang comes from pop culture. One of the words on Christina's list that piqued my interest was another pop culture term. It's an acronym, actually, HWNDU.
You will not divide us, HWNDU. So before we go into this one, it's important to talk a little bit about something that motivates a lot of the trolling, and that is targeting what they call SJWs. SJWs is an acronym for social justice warriors, people that they consider are lecturing others on political correctness and online activists for progressive or liberal-leaning causes. So the biggest thing is to trigger SJWs. That sort of trolling takes a lot of shapes, and who they perceive as an SJW can also vary wildly. So one of the favorite targets is the actor Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah. So he's, you know, that Disney actor, artist. Self-involved provocateur. He once live-streamed himself watching all of his movies nonstop for days. We watched it here in the office a little bit. He has this viral video on YouTube where he gives this pep talk.
Do it! Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday, you said tomorrow. So just do it! Make your dreams come true!
Yeah.
Got it, Shia. Thank you.
Just do it.
Shia LaBeouf was working on an art installation a while ago, right after the election, and it was going to be a protest.
The protest was he mounted a camera outside of a museum in Queens, New York, in New York City, intending to live stream, so broadcast on the internet, for the duration of Trump's presidency, kind of the street. So he just pointed a camera at a wall in the museum, and he was going to do that for 4 years.
So people could just go there and they could be on his live stream?
Yeah, they could walk through, say what they wanted to say to the world, broadcast live.
He was sort of working on a hashtag called He Will Not Divide Us, referring to Trump.
And that phrase, He Will Not Divide Us, was actually painted on the wall of the museum within the frame of the camera, live streaming to the internet.
And this immediately became bait for the trolls. They not only protested the art installation, but also on the internet, the HWNDU hashtag became a destination for trolls in a way that I'm sure Shia LaBeouf did not expect.
The museum also became a destination for trolls IRL in real life. They'd scream into the live stream, and then there were counter-protesters chanting, and eventually LaBeouf himself was arrested for becoming aggressive with one of these real-life trolls.
Was he doing that in front of the live stream?
Exactly. It was broadcast over the internet.
Oh, nice.
And then there was this hashtag, Free Shia, that began trending on Twitter. And, you know, as you might imagine, the museum shut down the project after just 3 weeks.
And more meme magic, eh?
Exactly. That was meme magic. Another act of meme magic is something that I wanted Christina to explain. It is the OK hand sign.
The OK hand sign. Like, you see a whole load of people do this. They just create the letter O, right, with their finger and their thumb.
Yes. You might have noticed. You might not have noticed. I didn't really know this. But there's a bunch of pictures trending on the internet of people flashing this OK sign.
No, I have not noticed.
I hadn't either. But apparently, this is happening.
The OK sign appropriation started out literally from a message board where they were, you know, rallying the members to make the SJWs believe.
Wait a minute. The SJWs?
Remember, social justice warriors.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Make the SJWs believe that the OK sign was, in fact, the sign for white power. That the form that your, the shape sort of that your fingers form when you do the OK sign was a symbol that described the W and the P, which are white power. They decided to use that, to do that as a hoax, to trigger SJWs. That was the point of it.
So wait a minute. So there's these people, like, there are some people who are just, what we think of as a kind of innocent gesture, or what I think of as an innocent gesture, the OK hand gesture, was then being associated by certain alt-righters as being, like, a white power gesture?
As a joke. A total joke. It was not real. They're like, how could we provoke people to think that we're making this symbol to piss people off, basically?
That's so crazy. So anybody who has ever posed making a gesture like that, if somebody doesn't get the joke, they're going to think that they're actually a white supremacist.
Well, I mean, they're going to make social justice warriors think that people doing that are racist when there's like actually nothing about it. It's just a total internet joke.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So they got what they wanted immediately when an article went up saying, oh my God, the OK sign is what they use to communicate the, you know, the white nationalists are using the OK sign as a symbol of white power. When in reality, it started as a hoax directed at creating that sort of reaction.
So the more reaction the trolls received, the more trolling ensued. You know, the more people started posting the symbol, the more like people got on the bandwagon.
Which is just so nuts. And so like the fake meaning becomes the real meaning on some level.
Exactly.
You know, what started as an irony, at this point, it is a symbol. What it symbolizes is what they are, and what they are is what they do.
It's this weird circular logic.
Makes my head hurt.
I know. So one last term, I promise, and before your head explodes and before all of our heads explode.
The other thing that I saw when I went on Reddit and went on the Donald subreddit was a call out to centipedes. I don't
this
really understand.
This is actually not appropriated. This has its origins on actual pro-Trump imagery. This started out from a YouTube series called You Can't Stump the Trump. It was a series of videos that you can find online where they compared Trump to a centipede.
Giant tropical centipedes share their territories with tarantulas.
And it's a centipede that was like nimble and highly venomous.
Despite its impressive length, it's a nimble navigator, and some can be highly venomous.
And this was like, you know, at the height of the campaign where there were 14 Republicans in the race and Trump was seen as like slowly taking them down. So he was likened to a centipede.
The centipede has two curved hollow fangs, which inject paralyzing venom.
Trump fans started calling each other either nimble navigators or centipedes. And now at this point, it's just peds.
Broken down further and further and further.
Broken down to peds.
So it sounds like these phrases, they're not going away. And in fact, they're just going mainstream. I mean, Trump's president.
Right. I mean, they memed him into presidency, or so they claim.
And he memed their names.
Right. Yeah. And it does feel different. You know, as long as the internet has been the internet, there's been trolling on the internet. But there's something right now that it feels like it is popping through into the mainstream.
Trolling or memeing has never been used for political purposes. It has never been used to undermine gigantic institutions like the press. It has never been used to create actual disruption in the democratic process until now. And this is what sort of opened a space and an opportunity for a lot of opportunistic trolls that were actually just, you know, looking for notoriety. And on the way there, they found that they could expand their platforms and actually profit from pro-Trump trolling. So at first, I would have said that the trolling and the meme magic was for disruption's sake. But now, because they've seen how there's now a market for the kind of skills that they have, now the incentives have wildly changed. Now the incentives are to create enough distrust in the media establishment, to create enough distrust in mainstream narratives that they can create an alternative reality where they can offer different facts when they don't like facts, become that alternative media, grow their platforms, and of course, profit. There is profit behind it.
It occurs to me that just as, like, you know, words are rapidly changing and the meanings of things are rapidly changing, the meaning of this movement is rapidly changing.
It adapts really fast. They are very flexible, regardless of what happens with the Trump presidency and whether the Trump ideology becomes actually a political movement. These trolls will be around way after that to capitalize from the distrust that they're trying to reap.
When she said at the beginning there, you know, trolling and meme magic has never been around before, has never affected an election before. I don't know. I mean, there were things that were like trolling and things that were like meme magic that existed before the internet. I'm just trying to think of an example. Certain sort of memes came out of presidential debates, for example, and that were then discussed pre-internet by the water cooler. There were certain expressions, turns of phrase, you know.
Right.
You know, we used to talk about sound bites an awful lot. Like, you know, I knew President Kennedy, you'll know President Kennedy. You know, things like that. And there were ways in which...
Read my lips, you know.
All of that stuff, yeah. I mean, like TV ads, in a way, trolled. People were trolling each other in TV ads. Yeah, read my lips. Or the Willie Horton ads. I mean, that was a form of trolling. That was certainly dog whistling big time. It's like a human instinct to do that. But the difference is that other thing that Christina mentioned, which is the speed at which all of this is taking place. It's just increased exponentially.
Not just the speed, but the access. So now there's a platform where, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry can have their say and have their anonymous say. And so, yeah, the speed and the access has created this plethora of memes and this language and this lingo. I mean, I encourage everybody. It's really eye-opening if you just spend, I don't know, 20 minutes on Reddit and go into the Donald subreddit. It's hard to discern.
Mm.
It's hard to...
Wow. I'm going to take the red pill before I do that.
Well, I think that's what they would say, is that what you're doing is if you do go on the Donald, you have taken the red pill.
That's deep.
That's all this week. Christina Lopez is a senior researcher at Media Matters for America. Thanks to you, Patrick, and to Tina Toby, and to Robin Moore and Alex Newman.
You can reach us on Twitter at LingoPod or on Facebook. There's a World in Words group.
And most importantly, thanks so much for listening.
You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean.